You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints out in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a
primitive manufactured.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot.
The creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Where the party they gon' have? Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill. And I got to tell you, we had a little bit of a scheduling problem this evening. Yours truly scheduled Tom on a Haunted Voices radio show with Todd Bates. And thought it was a Tuesday, but it ended up really being a Wednesday, and we didn't realize it until this morning. So Tom will not be here for the show. Alex has graciously volunteered to come on with me and would host the show with the guests. Now, Tom did call me just before the show, before he went on the Todd Bates Haunted Voices radio show, to say that he misses everybody, he wishes he could be here. And then, you know, tell Marco to get his shit away. So, but anyway, Tom is out there on the other radio show. Alex and I are here, and what a show we got. Alex, how are you tonight, my friend?
Doing very well, Marco. How about yourself? How's everybody in the West Coast?
Well, I got the flu, and I got a cough, and I'm okay, but hanging in there. But and in 80-degree weather, can you believe that?
So you can't even enjoy it.
No. Well, you know, how do you get half pneumonia in 80-degree weather? I can't even understand that. Most of you other people are out there with 27 degrees, you know, 6 below, 10 below last night. Somewhere, I think in Minnesota there was 10 or 15 below. I mean,
yeah, it was 15 below wind chill in New England yesterday when I was talking to some people back home. But that's exactly why those people aren't sick, and you know, you are, and the flu's over here in Arizona. I don't have it yet, but it's here. It's because it can incubate, you know, that it's not cold enough to kill the germs. You get back in New England this time of winter, the germs still get spread around by touch, but you're not going to get it through the air outside, on the, you know, by touching a doorknob outside, because it's just too cold. The germs die. most of the time, not all of them. But, you know, out in the warmer climates, the flu rampages because it can just incubate and keep using all of us for incubation and get the next person.
Well, I think it incubated me a few times in the last couple of weeks here. So I'm incubated up.
Now I'm pretty sick.
Tell us who's in the chat room and say hi to some of our guests.
Well, in the chat room, I just told everybody to log in if they wanted a shout-out. First off, I want to give a special hello to our returning friend, Connie Gilbert, up there in the great land of Canada. We got Bill Green. We got the chief monster chaser. That would be Mitch from MogionMonster.com. We got, let's see, who else? We got Dabo representing the Four Corners. We got the GBRI team in full. We got Jan. We got Craig. Probably a couple others knowing them, too. We got Steve, the gentle giant. We got Gerald from Wichita. We got John R. John R. said the snow's just starting where he is. Not sure where that is yet. Lance Garrison, the tree hugger. He's out there. We got Lee Joyner. We got Mike K. We got the Snake Man, and Rosebud was in there, too. Where'd she go? She was there, so we'll give a special hello to Rosebud. Hey, Billy Green, if you're the same Bill Green as on my Facebook, I think you are under the weather this week, maybe even some surgery or something, so we wish you the best. Of course, we send out special wishes to my mom, who's not having a good week, but in general doing better. And then we got Don Creel, same thing. I think he's feeling a little better because I believe I got an email from him last week, not from Chuck, but from Don. So hopefully Don's feeling a little better. Who else is under the weather, Marco, that we give special hellos to?
I don't have anybody on our list, but okay. If anybody's out there sick and you're not feeling good, we send you our best wishes and prayers for a speedy recovery and get back up there and start hunting Bigfoot again, okay? Well,
and one of my friends from back home says it's snowing in Massachusetts, too, so I guess the Northeast is going to get hammered again. They're under about 2 or 3 feet of snow now. I got some videos from back home today, so that's good, though. That'll be lots of footprint tracks in the snow for Bigfoot, for those Fisher cats, and any of the large cats, and any other cryptids that are roaming around the Northeast and the Bridgewater Triangle and all those haunted places back home.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, tonight we got a list of guests here. And I got to tell everybody, just probably a couple hours prior to the show, we had a couple of guests had to drop out because they were sick. One got ptomaine poisoning, and the other had the flu really bad and couldn't even talk without coughing.
Was it my fault? I didn't do the cooking.
Me neither. I told him I didn't have my mouth on the phone when I was talking to him, so he couldn't catch it from me. But they called me in, and they were just too sick to come on, so we'll have them on next week.
Well,
but
you know,
anyway,
with the people we get on, I'm sure they can talk long enough to make up for the lost.
Do you think we're going to sacrifice? We got some really good people here. Yeah, you know, our first guest is Chris Allen, and what a guy. I mean, and he graciously just volunteered to come on at the last minute here. I give guests about 2 or 3 days notice before we ask them to come on the show. And this was just a few hours before the show. And he, as always, just stood up and said, hey, I'll be there. And what a guy. Chris, you're there, buddy?
I'm here. How you doing, Alex and Marco?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing awesome. Speaking of the colds and everything, my brand new deal just got a virus today.
But yeah, that's what I heard. So you're telling me.
I'm out in the studio right now, in my man cave, if you call it that. I'm using
my computer
out here.
Hey, Chris, I got to ask you something first before I can let you come on the show, though.
Sure.
You got your homework done?
Yes, I did. I'm caught up.
Okay, you're right.
And lying through my teeth and smiling, but yes, I did. When you're in college, you never get caught up.
Marco, that's the new rule with Chris. He can't come on unless his homework is done.
Well, he told me he'd already been to school today and everything, and so he already had class and everything else.
I did really well in school today. I was quite pleased with the success I had today. Today was just a math class, but as of February the 14th, my schedule is going to get really busy because they're going to add several more hours to my schedule, and I'll be taking a lot of extra courses. They're like five-week mini courses or whatever. And what I'm going through an entrepreneurship program. What used to be tech, which was the state separated a two-year from the four-year program, so they had to change the name of their school that offered the two-year to Bridgemont. So I'm doing a two-year at Bridgemont for an associate degree in entrepreneurship, which is basically a management degree. And my music and Bigfoot endeavors, everything I've ever did, the weakest link I've had was contracts. I had a past management that had me sign a 50-something page contract that said that if I die, and what I had interpreted from an attorney, that they own everything I have. They take my cars, my house, everything. And the way they told it to me is like, well, no, if something happened, you owe us a few $100s, da-da-da-da. Well, they lied through their teeth, and I did get out of the contract, but it took me many years to get out of the contract, and this was before I had 8 World Top 10 hit songs. So they were actually after big money.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to prepare myself for, right now I'm up here in West Virginia trying to help my mom where she's, some people that might be listening that may not have a clue of my past. I've had 8 World Top 10 hit songs out of Nashville, and I left Nashville in the middle of my fifth album when I found out both my parents had cancer within 2 weeks apart. And so I sold my house and everything. I moved to West Virginia and, to kind of be close to my mom. Well, I'm here and she's, recuperating, and she is, the cancer is gone. I can't remember what the word's called, but it's not back right now, and we hope it never comes back ever again. So at the meantime, I'm sticking around. I'm not doing any tours this year till possibly later in the year, and I'm doing the school. Now, my school, they know my musical schedule, that if something really big came up and I couldn't turn it down, the school has to be put on hold, and that goes the same with Monsters, Myths, and Mysteries, my TV show I've been working with, and they're all supportive for it. I mean, they're just like, you know, they ask me if I do speeches for the classes. Like, yeah, sure, and I don't mind doing speeches for classes.
Well, what's been going on in your area?
You know, I went out, I think it was last weekend. My schedule, my brain is just at wit's end. I'm like a sponge that's absorbed most of what it can, and to absorb any more, I had to defrag my head somehow. I think it was last weekend. If it wasn't last weekend, it was the weekend before last. I went to Sherwood Lake again to go up there when we had snow and check out the grounds around the dam. Now, this is where I had seen three Gigantopithecus blackies in the past, and went up there, and lo and behold, I posted the photos on my website on Facebook. I had several different size feet tracks from Bigfoot that were from the back side of the dam, and they were from the older snowfall. They weren't fresh snow. They were not fresh Bigfoot tracks, but they were still, you could see the toe imprints, the heel imprints. I was quite pleased to even find that out there because the snow was melting away quite rapidly when I went there. So the big fella's still around. He's walking around the snow because they were on top of the snow there.
That's good.
I still try to get out and do every chance I get. It seems like my free time anymore is just on the weekends. And every weekend I try to get out and I try to go around looking when I get the time and I'm not swamped with homework on something, and Sherwood Lake was only like 2.5 hours, 3 hours each direction away from me. So I went ahead and headed out there, and there's a lot of coyote tracks. You know what's amazing? You always hear the stories, and Alex, you know this about big cats, so they always follow the human trails. Well, you know, you got your deers. I took so many pictures, and I posted them on Facebook. It was like an animal highway out there, like Noah was building another ark out in the woods or something, because you find beaver trails, deer trails, mink trails, fox trails, black bear trails. There are so many animals walking the same trails we walk. And it's a 4.5-mile trail around this small lake up here. And, yeah, there were tons of animals that were walking the same trails. And when I got to the back side of the lake, there were several, not on the trail, but off the trail, the Bigfoot tracks. And if you follow their tracks, they're walking off the trail, but they're walking right along the trail. Almost like if they're looking for an ambush site back there, just, you know, within 20, 30 feet from the trail and walking along the trail, and they'll go back behind a lot of stuff, and you'll see the track marks where they're going up some extremely steep hillsides that I could not get up with my snow boots on. I'm digging my fingers into the snow, and I'm digging my shoes in the snow, and I'm trying to get up the hill. And you didn't see any claw marks or anything going up the hill. They had walked up the hill, and they got actually behind, you know, the branches and stuff where they were sitting back here, where you could tell that they were actually like an ambush spot. Now, whether they killed something, I don't have a clue. The, you know, the snow had melted away, and this was like a two-layered snow. You had a frozen bottom layer and
right.
a slushy top layer, and the footprint was crushed into the harder layer.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was quite interesting. Even though it was old track, it was still quite interesting.
Go ahead, Alex.
That's very relevant to a situation that Mitch has come upon a couple of times, so you might want to stay on the line and even jump in later when we're talking to Mitch if you have a question about it. But did you notice any, like, areas where the deer trails came down into this, you know, what you would consider the actual ambush spot, and then maybe scatter, like something jumped out at them? Because we've actually found that.
Yeah, I've actually, the time before last. Now, Alex, you'd probably be able to answer it better than my scattered brain one day. I was up there because I had the conference room. I was on another radio show with you up there, and that was the night I was up there in Lewisburg. That was when I was
okay.
sure. Was that last weekend?
Yes, we were. Okay. At, 2 weeks ago, we had a Saturday nighter and a Sunday nighter, I think, and then the Monday night with the KS.
Now, what I had found up there the time before last when I went up there was that the bear, this was a bear track, and a bear is a stealthy hunter. And a lot of people actually get bear tracks or grizzly tracks confused with Bigfoot because they have a toe. And, in fact, the college that I'm going to right now, we're redesigning the mascot footprint. You know, when you go to colleges, you find the footprints, or like when you go to Kings Island, you got the animal tracks leading around different places. Well, a lot of colleges will do that. If it's a cougar or whatever the mascot is, they'll put the tracks on the sidewalk. Well, they have a dog track that has claws on it where they try to make a dog track into a bear track. And anybody that knows it. So we're trying to correct that. But I do know the difference of the bear track, and I do know the difference of a Bigfoot track. And I had followed some bear tracks when I was there the last time, and I was actually following deer tracks, thinking maybe the deer would lead me somewhere that would be something of interest. And I was walking around the beach area, and there was snow up there, and all of a sudden you could just see where the tracks got larger, where the deer stuck off trying to run at the last few seconds. You know, it was like a matter of seconds. This black bear apparently had ran out of the edge of the woods 75 feet away and killed one of the deers right there, because you could just see the mauled up tracks where there, and it was dragged off into the woods. I mean, you could see the hoof tracks dragging out into the woods. The bear came down, killed the deer, and drug it up into the woods.
Wild, wild. Bear tracks are sometimes hard to distinguish from possible Bigfoot tracks when you get the double bear track. But when they're single, you can usually see the claws in the bear track.
Yeah, well, this was a full-out run, so you could definitely see the claws in the track where it had ran. And it was in a sandy beach with snow on top of it, so it was a soft bottom layer underneath it. And it, you could see the claw and everything in it.
Yeah, most animals will have a similar track from the front foot to the back foot. There'll be some differences, but the bear track is very different from the front paw to the back paw or claw. And kind of like a wolverine has a very different front and back paw print. But sometimes dogs or cats, it'd be very hard to tell what print is from what leg, unless you're seeing them, you know, whole trail.
Well, you know, I seen a Marco track while I was up there. It was a Marco Bill track. Well, it was either a Marco Bill or a beaver because it was really dragging its tail. Okay, but I'm
the big fat cat.
I'll tell you what, I've seen a beaver up here before. This lake has some huge beavers, and a beaver they'll roam through the woods for miles and miles trying to find the perfect place to breed at. And when you get to Sherwood Lake, there's no motorboats allowed at this lake. It's a very pristine wilderness at the Mongahela National Forest. And just over the mountain, there's a giant lake called Moomaw Lake, which I have never been to Moomaw before, but I've been to Sherwood Lake since, you know, I was wearing diapers and before. I was probably camping there when I was in my mom's belly, so I've got a lot of years' experience at Sherwood Lake. not to have ever crossed the mountain to go to Moomaw Lake, because Moomaw Lake is more of a public type of place where they allow motorboats and things like that. I'm more the type of person that I like to go in the remote areas where people normally don't go, because I just like the wilderness.
Well, gosh, Chris, there's a lot of things going on in your life right now.
Well, with the bull, and I'm still trying to get this movie going, Monster Myth and Mysteries, and I've got a lot of people I spoke with, and we've got something that's possibly, if the guys can make it up here, we've got something really big that we may have planned coming up real soon, and I have been tracking down a certain area. In this area, there's a family of Bigfoots that have been living in certain areas, and I have been trying to figure out where these guys might be staying at, and I think I've actually centralized it very recently. And it was actually with one of my, a drummer friend of mine, who is actually leading, helping me with this, to where we actually pinpointed an area.
Wow.
And I've actually said more tonight on your show than I've said on any of the other shows where I've been at. And we've got a couple of guys that will be coming up, or have planned on coming up, and one of the guys is Dan Nyberg, the CEO of Monster Quest.
Yeah.
And his buddy Mark Peters. So we're waiting on Mark. He was in Denver at a horse show or something out in Denver. And these guys get through, they're passing up this area. Possibly they were planning on coming up here. And whichever, if it doesn't happen, I'll do it alone, or if somebody else wanted to come up here. I didn't want to disturb the area, and so I had the professional, proper equipment to survey the area where they're staying at.
Well, hey. Well, you're going to keep us posted, right?
I'm keeping everybody. Yeah, I'll keep you definitely posted on this. I don't want to say any more, like give locations.
No, you don't have to. Wait till the update comes.
I don't want Bigfoot to be listening to the radio show tonight and realize they've got to move because I'm coming after them.
That's right. Hey, Chris, thanks so much for coming on tonight and at the last minute notice even. And as always, we just love to have you on the show.
When you offered me to ask me if I'd like to come on the show tonight, I was like, wow, you're talking about Wednesday? And then I was like, well, I should know today's Wednesday. I had my math class today. I can't keep up with the days. What days are they? Come together so fast.
Life's a blur sometimes.
Alex, how's your mom? Alex, how's your mom doing?
Thank you for asking, Chris. She was doing great, you know, a week or two ago. So I was expecting a little bad turn because, you know, it's a roller coaster ride. So I'm hoping it's just the natural progression of things, you know, good times, bad times. But my sister was real concerned last week, so she sent me one of those, you know, you better get home messages, and I was like, huh? When I called my mom, she was like, no, I'm not that bad. I'm just having a bad couple of days. So hopefully when I call her tomorrow or tonight, she'll be feeling better.
Well, let her know she's on my prayer list with both of you guys. Marco, you're definitely on the prayer list with your cold there and your grandbaby that you just had recently.
Thank you.
I keep so many people on the prayer list or whatever that are needing help or sick or something of that nature, especially the children. I go out and I do shows a lot for children, and I've got so many children that I, instead of asking God, you know, every name of the child, I just, in children in general, and then I'll mention people that may need a little bit more. But you guys are on there, and thank you for having me on the show again. And if you get a chance, let me shout out my website, get some people out there and check it out, and check out some of the photos that we're uploading, because I'm always changing photos around and putting new photos on there. My website, if you don't know it out there, it's chrisallen.com. No, I'm not the guy from American Idol, but I do have 8 World Top 10 hit songs, and my band is called Chris Allen Southern Thunder. My website is www.krisallen, that's chrisallen.com, all one word. And from there, you can link onto Facebook or MySpace. I do a lot of my postings mainly on Facebook with the new photos on there. So keep in touch. If you're not friends with me on Facebook, request me as your friend. I'll sign you up on there, and keep in touch.
Okay, Chris, thanks so much. Hit your *6 button.
You got it. Y'all have a nice evening. Bye.
You too, Chris. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.
I threw that up in the chat room for you, Chris. Stop by the forum and talk with Mitch about what we were talking about there for sure, would you?
Well,
who's next?
Alex, our next guest, Jimmy Snell. Jim, how are you, my friend?
Well, I'm not soaking it up in the 80-degree weather, that's for sure.
You're up there in the cold spot.
Well, I tell you, we got a heat wave just starting today. Over the last few days, over the weekend, we got down to be 30 below on the wind chill. But now we got a heat wave, a balmy 26. So we're enjoying it.
Well, storms into you, though, Jim.
Yeah, well, we've been getting... Well,
right at 30. Better. You can't have no blizzard.
That's true. Well, we get them regardless. But, we got probably, where I live, we got about 4 feet of snow in the last week in two and a half storms. So, but hey, that's what happens when you live here in the mountains, you know.
Now, are you getting more today?
I don't think we're going to get that one. I think that one's going to stay south of us.
Wait a second. I'm from Massachusetts, New England. What mountains are you talking about? I'm just kidding.
Mountains. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Yeah, we were talking earlier, Marco and I. It's amazing what difference elevation makes when it comes to temperature and weather. I mean, it's incredible.
Yes, you're 100% right. I was joking with the guys earlier. We got, we're in the valley here, 72 degrees. But if we drive 2 hours away to where Mitch and I call the hot zone, or 3 or 4 hours up to the White Mountains, not the White Mountains of New Hampshire, which are in my dreams.
Right.
You'll be in the 20s and 5 to 10,000 feet up and, a snow base of 3, 4, 5 feet. Slopes, everything. But back in New England, you guys just get hammered throughout, and you do have some smaller mountains, and even those smaller mountains make a huge difference in the weather, especially like, for instance, Mount Washington.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a reason why they got that observatory up there. It's prime location for giving you the extremes, especially this time of year.
The highest recorded wind temperature, the highest recorded wind speed on the Earth was recorded in Mount Washington.
Yeah, and I don't know the specifics on it, but I believe they got beaten out last year. I think I heard something about that, and I'll have to look that up now. It's going to bug me, but I think they got beaten out finally. But it was long standing that the highest wind speed was recorded right up there on Mount Washington, and they hunker right down in that observatory. It's pretty neat. They just, they live up there for the winter. The only way you can get in and out of there is with a snowcat,
And probably sometimes, with that, it's close to impassable. It was just a matter of time. I guess it's just that's where the most extreme recording equipment can be located. I'm sure the wind is higher on Mount Everest, but there's no recording equipment up there. So it probably did finally get beat. Isn't that kind of sad?
Yeah. And that was probably...
So how are things? Sorry, Jim. How are things?
Not too bad. Like I said, I try not to go out in the cold too much this time of year. And unfortunately for me, there's not a whole lot of Bigfoot activity up in New Hampshire. You don't get a whole lot of reports. They're very scarce. I can only count on one hand the amount of reports that we've had in the last couple of decades around here. Maybe it's because people don't talk about it. I don't know. But it seems like you get action in Maine. You get action in Vermont. And just a little bit of action in, I don't know about Massachusetts either. I haven't heard too many cases come out of Mass either.
There's some reports out of Massachusetts in the Bridgewater Triangle area. I kind of take those with a grain of salt, although I would never downgrade someone's report. But, within that location, it's landlocked by heavy population. It is very remote in the middle of it, but there's thickly settled areas completely around it. So it's probably a case of misidentification. There has been some reports from Western Mass and mid-Massachusetts, but like you said, in New England, mostly it's Maine, Vermont. I don't know if you've ever heard my story, though. My encounter when I was 12, 13 years old was northern New Hampshire.
Oh, no kidding. Up there in the mountains?
Yep. I've told it many times, so I won't cut into your time by telling it again, but Tom has me tell it every once in a while on the show, so it's in the archives.
up, man. Well, I'll talk to you later on off air, too.
Yeah, yeah, it's an awesome. Rex was going to try to check out the area, and for a long, I was 12 years old, so for a long time I had the wrong town, and my dad just would never, you know, talk about it, and finally it was just last year, he's like, no, that was Woodstock, or Lincoln, whatever he told me. I told Rex, so Rex will remember. But
probably the most publicized report came out of Salisbury, and Salisbury's probably about, I don't know, less than an hour northwest of Concord. And there was a hunter, an older guy, had been hunting for years, forever, in the same woods, grew up in the same area. It's a very small town. And when I mean small town, there's one general store at the four corners of the roads that go through the town. You know what I mean? So nobody had ever reported anything before. And he had had an encounter out there that scared the heck out of him, and it turned out he wasn't the only one that had an encounter around that same time period, but this was back in the 80s, I believe it was 87, and there's a store, that very store I was just telling you about, the only store in town. They actually have a plaque on the wall with a hair sample that's supposedly from this sighting, you know, and it hit all the papers and everything too, but I've actually seen the plaque. I've been to the store. I've been out to the area. There's not a lot going on out there these days, but I tried to talk him into giving me a sample of that hair, but maybe I should work on him a little harder for that. To be honest with you, it kind of looked like a horsetail to me. It looked a little long. But,
well, here's what we can do with that. If you don't even have to take it, I don't think, if we could get... maybe just come down there with a microscope and put it on a glass and get a picture of it. Mitch has all the data from Penner Fauerenbach, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, you know, unknown primate hairs. He has bear
oh,
hairs.
Nice.
And so
that's
we can compare
nice.
Them to that, because that's all we're going to get out of them anyways, you know.
Right. That'd be a nice non-invasive way to do it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, you get so busy with this and that I never made it back over there to really talk to the people that I should have talked to. But that's a definite possibility, you know. But there's that one. There's a couple over in the Monadnock area, some sightings here and there. But they're very, very sparse around here, you know. You got to go south. That's where all the action is.
Well, Jimmy, let me ask you a question, buddy. You just recently, now, we're going to just give a plug here on the show for Anatomy of the Bigfoot Hoax.
Right.
And you just completed the new release.
What
do you think about it? Tell us about that.
Well, it's definitely something everybody should see. It gives you a nice fly-on-the-wall perspective on what was going on, and it's very linear that you can see things, how they happen in the chronological order. It's really, I had no idea, even knowing everybody that was involved, and well, at least everybody in Searching for Bigfoot that was involved. You know, I talked to them and heard the stories, but you don't really get the feeling for exactly what happened until you see it as it happened. And Brian was out there filming the whole time, and we've got the footage of what was going on when the body was received. You really got to see it to fully understand what these guys did. I mean, it's mind-blowing that somebody would go through these lengths to perpetrate a hoax like that. I mean, in this business, you get people from all walks who want to do all kinds of things, and most of the time, the worst you get is a little crap talk. But this is just unbelievable, and you really got to see it unfold in front of your own eyes to appreciate how nasty it was.
That's pretty good. They can get this right now. We've got it posted on the store, I think.
Yeah, you can go right to
special price.
Right, search Bigfoot.com and get it. We're getting it up onto Amazon, going through the works of doing that. But yeah, honestly, I mean, again,
and we're looking at some packages as well for you know, some packages, some packaging deals. So
right,
we could, it makes it more amenable to people to not just get the Bigfoot hoax, but Bigfoot lives and all for a certain price.
It is, because you know, some people who may not be familiar with the work that Searching for Bigfoot does may not fully appreciate, again, how awful this whole thing was, how nasty it was for these guys to do this, until you see the legitimate work that's been done all these years, and all the effort, and all the time, and all the passion, and all the money that has gone into doing this research, to have somebody come around and go through those lengths to screw with you. I mean, if there's one thing I could add to the film, I would like to have these guys profiled, and I have people that could do that, because they're just nuts, man. I mean, how could you get up in front of the whole world and pull a fraud like that and pull a scam on somebody? But anyway, I'm worked up about it, because once you see this film, you're going to see exactly what happened. And I didn't even appreciate exactly what happened until I started working with the footage, and I was blown away.
Well, thanks, Jim, and I appreciate you coming on tonight and talking with us. As always, I mean, love to have you on, and I'll be in touch with you. I'll give you a call here tomorrow.
Okay,
talk about some other things. Hey,
right.
Hit your *6 button.
Okay, good talking to you.
And listen to the rest of the show if you can.
All right, guys.
Take care.
We'll
see you, Jimmy.
Okay, brother.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Jim Snell. Whoa, what happened?
Uh-oh.
I think we lost Jimmy. But we're doing that mute yourself out boom trick. Well, anyway, Alex, our next guest, you could never guess.
My favorite little lady from the Northwest?
Absolutely. You know, Becky, I'm going to unmute you. And you better not drop off. If you do, dial back in real quick, okay? Here we go. Let's test this out.
Hello.
You're there. Hi, Beck.
How are you guys? How you doing?
Super duper.
Hi, Beck.
Hey, Alex. How's it going?
Good. Very good. Very good. You know the truth.
That's
I'm lying.
You know, Becky, you know, in San Diego, you used to have this radio show. It was called Chicken Man. And I like the saying, it was, he's everywhere, he's everywhere. And that's you. You're everywhere, you're everywhere. You're doing so many different things, my gosh.
Feels I'm too busy. I want to do different things.
Yeah. Well, why don't you come on and tell us everything. My gosh, don't even leave anything out. What's going on in your area up there? Lots of stuff.
Well, yeah, there seems to be a lot of activity going on up here, a whole lot more than, you know, someone, you know, just me can cover. There's a lot. But an interesting little story cropped up, and it's right in my backyard, so I kind of get to go on. Well, I'm kind of waiting for the weather to clear a little bit up here. It's been kind of nasty, and I was just getting over the flu. But I'll start my story out with saying that my daughter has a friend, and I'm not sure that my description is correct. I hope everybody can follow me on this, and I think you get my understanding. What his position is he is a tactical defensive firearms instructor for the military. Did that make sense? Did I say that right?
No, yeah, that's good enough.
Okay, and so there...
Sorry. I wouldn't know if you were saying it wrong, but it sure sounded good.
Oh, gee, thanks, Alex. I'm trying. Trust me, I'm trying. Well, okay, so he works like a graveyard shift. His position, they go deep out into the reservation, and there is an installation or a facility out there that they do this firearms tactical training. And so he's got soldiers out there, and he's assigned with a few other guys out there to do this training and this instructing. Well, when he started coming around, he found out that I, what I believe in, you know, as far as this creature goes. And he started saying, you know, that's interesting because we keep hearing these crazy screams out there. And I said, really? I said, tell me a little bit about it. So he said, well, I don't know what to tell you. He said, we keep hearing these crazy, like, branches snapping, and we keep hearing crazy screams out there, and I've never heard anything like this in my life. So I just kind of left it at that. I didn't say a whole lot at that time. Now, this was about a month ago. Excuse me, guys. I think I'm still trying to get over this cold.
That's okay.
But, excuse
don't
me.
Worry.
But,
I had
so,
to beat myself a couple times before myself.
So I... And so the story goes on, and then it's a few days more, and he's over here. He's visiting with my daughter. He's visiting with me, and he's saying, you know, he says, you know those screams I told you about? And I said, yeah. He said, well, he's like, I got to tell you something else. He said, you know, right outside the installation, we have these huge, heavy. Now, I can only describe it as that. I mean, I can't come on and say, oh, they weigh 500 pounds. But he said they're very, very heavy, and the guys put their artillery on these tables.
I'm sorry,
and,
you broke up a little bit. Huge, heavy,
oh,
what?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're all right.
Okay.
Huge, heavy, what?
They were like, there's these huge, heavy, either wood or metal tables that are right outside this installation that they train at. And they're being moved. He said he can't figure it out, but he said they'll use the artillery, they'll go back in the installation, you know, and at some point in time, one or two of the guys will come out, you know, outside this installation, and this table, or two, there's two tables out there, are getting moved a lot. I mean, from one side of the installation to the other. They're like drugged. And he's scratching his head, and he said, I have no idea what's going on out here. And I'm starting to size this up, and I'm thinking, huh, how interesting, because out in this area, it has been known for 30, 35, 40 years, you know, people have seen these creatures out in the reservation. You know, it's not an uncommon thing. And, you know, I've had a couple of incidences myself out in the reservation when I was riding my horse, but that's another story for another day. So he comes to me this last week. He says, I got to tell you something. He said, I think I saw what you're talking about. And I said, well, tell me what you saw, and I'll tell you if I think that's what you saw. He says, okay. He said, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and he said, we've been hearing all this noise and howls and screams and all this stuff, and the tables got moved again, and he said, well, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, they were leaving the installation, him and a buddy, because one of his buddies saw it too. And they came around a corner, and mind you, I got to go back and tell you that they are deep in the reservation. They're way, way, way tucked back where nobody knows where they are. And
what kind of reservation are you talking, just to set it up for the listeners, because, you know, they don't...
It's called the Fort Lewis Reservation.
I'm sorry, I talked over you. Is it an Indian reservation or is it a military reservation?
It's a military reservation.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so. Military reservation. And it's been fenced off, and it's very heavily guarded. They have MPs that go up and down there all the time, you know, trying to keep people out. And occasionally I'll find fences and stuff out along that. My mother still lives out in that area, and we'll find fences torn down, ripped up to shreds, gnarled up, and I'm like, okay, that's interesting. But anyway, they came around the corner, and there was this large, upright creature. He said it appeared to be about 9 feet tall, and he said it was standing. This is the odd part. He said it was standing up against a tree. And when I asked him to describe how it was standing, he said, well, it had its head like it was leaning, like it was tired or something. And he said it was leaning with its head up against the tree. It has arms up, and it was resting its forehead on its hands. Does that make sense to you guys, where his elbows up in the air?
Sure.
like one of us would do if we were tired, you know. And he said he didn't know how to describe it except for it looked like it was tired or something. But they came around the corner. They caught this with their headlights. And he said it had long reddish-brown hair. And when the headlights was straight on it, then it just took off. It just took off on two legs, just running. And he said, boom. He said he's never seen anything move so fast in his life. And he's really having a hard time digesting all this right now because he thought this was a myth. He's one of those people out there that still, you know, oh, this was just a story that somebody made up about a creature like this. This was just something that somebody made up. And so now he's kind of in shell shock going, what is this thing? So now he's got a bug. And he wants to know.
Becky, did he go and fight? Did he do some comparisons maybe between him and his friend standing in that location so he could get a good feel of, you know, whether it was 9 feet or not? Look for footprints. Did you ask him these kind of things?
I haven't talked to his friend yet. I haven't had the opportunity. This is one of my follow-ups, and this is something I'm going to do. We're going out there, and he's got plans to create a clearance for me so that I can go out there without getting into trouble. And he's going to take me to that exact spot. And we're going to measure the tree, and we're going to do all of this. So this is going to, there's a follow-up to be done here.
Excellent.
He's also going to see if he can get some equipment from the military. He's actually going to see if he can get some type of night vision equipment or something that can, you know, because they're still hearing stuff out there. But he's shocked. He's like, I cannot even believe what I saw. And I know that's what he saw because he said it took off on two legs.
You want to have try to get some night equipment, preferably, you know, some of the, if he can get some military night vision equipment, that'll be better than anything that most Bigfoot researchers have or cryptid researchers of any kind. If he can get some thermal imaging equipment, that would be even better because that'll show off heat sources. You don't even have to, you know, see in front of the tree because you'll be able to see through the tree to a heat source. So that's what you want him to zero in on. You want to get out there, even if it has to be him alone, as soon as possible and see if there's some footprints. When you go with him, make sure you have some plaster to give him. Maybe he can get you Awesome.
Yep. I'm doing the whole deal. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to see if maybe, you know, the weather's been a little bit nicer, been a little bit clearer, and I'm out of this flu I had. And so I'm going to see if there's anything I can do this weekend.
Well, I'll tell you what, Becky, I want to thank you for coming on and telling us this. I told you, I just knew you had all kinds of things going on. You just need a little, there's a couple other things you're going to be investigating too. So
yes,
we're going to have you on again here soon when you start reinvestigating this thing. We'll have you back on to tell us what the results are. How's that?
That'd be great. I'd love to share it.
Thank you so much, Becky, for coming on tonight.
You're welcome.
Almost a little late, but that's okay. We're not here yet. And thanks for taking the time out to come on here.
All right, no problem. Nice to hear from you again, Alex.
You too, Becky. Marco, Becky's on Facebook, too. Becky, are you going to put your photos on Facebook?
I have some photos. I don't know how to say this. I keep losing, or somebody keeps taking one of my kids, keep taking my little USB port, and I've been having a hard time finding it. As soon as I can find it, I can port that over, you know, and get something like that up. And if I need any help or I need some ideas on that, I'll call you, Alex.
Yeah, awesome. But I wanted to make sure everybody knew you're out there on Facebook in case they want to connect with you.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's great. I'd love it.
Awesome. Go ahead, Marco. Didn't mean to interrupt, sir.
All right. Well, thank you, Becky. Becky, hit your *6 button.
Okie dokie.
And we got Mitch is on here. He's got some stuff that he's been working on as well. And thank you for coming on. I'll give you a call here in a week or so to see how you're doing.
Okay,
and,
Mark, you guys all take care.
You too, Becky. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night now.
Good night.
Mitch.
Well, Mitch, I want to try to get you unmuted here, buddy, without dropping you. There you go. You're on.
Okay, I'm here.
How you doing, Mitch?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Doing some working on some sound guns. We're trying to prepare for this upcoming season because it does slow down in the wintertime. So,
got it. That's when you can do a lot of your work on your equipment. I also saw you were doing some work on powering the command center too, right?
That is correct. I did a video on how to power the command center, and I'm using solar panels, 315-watt solar panels that give me 45 watts coming down during the day to charge my battery packs that run my surveillance cameras and computers and TVs and stuff at night. So the way I've got it set up, I can last pretty much a week and a half without going back into town.
Wow. That's good. I mean, sometimes in the beginning, we didn't get through a night.
Yes. Yeah, you kind of learn the capabilities of the equipment and so forth. And a lot of things don't work as advertised, so you got to try them out and then learn from there.
That's it. It's a trial and errors, right? I mean, that's the only way you can learn. And that's why I tell so many people to get in touch with you, so maybe they don't have to do the errors that we've gone through or that you've gone through.
That's correct. I'll try to help them through and give them advice on anything they've seen me do. You know, the command center, the powering, the surveillance equipment, any of that kind of stuff, what kind of game cameras to use. You know, just running out and grabbing a game camera doesn't really work. Most of your game cameras have too much wake-up time from the time they catch a trigger to the time they actually take a photo or video. Most of them are in the 60-second range. Well, you know, Bigfoot hunters need better than that. We need 1 second. So, you know, you want to get the right cameras.
Right. Now, what do you have planned for the coming year or the coming Bigfoot season, so we should say?
Okay, what I'm trying to do is our motto is think outside of the box. And so we've been trying to think of different ways to enhance our Bigfooting. And what we're going to be trying to do is catalog our Bigfoot and build personalities for each of them that are in our area. As you know, you've been there. We have more than one up there. So we're going to be using a full range of collection for data to try to start pinning personality and habits and so forth to each one of them. We're going to continue with our video cameras up there in the mountains. But we're also going to be putting up fingerprint traps, hair traps to collect hair samples. We're working on a biopsy box that if they mess with it, they'll get a little sharp prick and we'll biopsy some blood and maybe some muscle tissue. With the vocalizations, we're going to start putting voice-activated recorders out with our game cameras so that we can start figuring out who's beating up our cameras. And we're also going to use some old World War I pre-radar sound vectoring devices. And basically this is a sound gun that is very directional and they used to use it for incoming airplanes. They would hear the airplanes coming and then use this sound gun to vector in on the noise of the engine so that they could direct the guns where to fire. It's a good technology, and so we want to start using that on some of their longer vocalizations so that we can start tracking what trails and what areas that they frequent. Of course, we're going to do scat collecting and basically upgrade our camera equipment, better ranges and better IR systems. So that's what we have planned for this year.
You want to actually start classifying these by creatures possibly, right? And I mean, we don't have names, we don't have pictures, but you're going to try to put together some evidence and see if you can say, let's say, we'll call RC the lower area. Let's say around the lower area where we put the base camp, you're going to see if you can kind of classify the differences between the creatures down there and up higher in the higher elevations where you had your first sighting, so to speak, right?
Right. And through fingerprinting and the different types of DNA collections and so forth, we can start telling if they're traveling around the mountain a little bit, if they're going up and down on the mountain and so forth, because we're going to be putting out these air traps and finger traps and biopsy machines quite regularly throughout the year, and we're going to have quite a few of them. So we should be able to start building a non-picture of them.
Awesome. Now, we were talking about hairs earlier with Jim Snell. You have, in the past, and so I guess that means you can still do it, you know the differences, and you have records to show the differences between, say, different primate hairs and bear hairs and human hairs, for instance. We've done all that before. You've done that. So if Jim got in touch with you with a photograph, you could give him some ideas on what it was, right?
Yes. If he goes to a 400X amplification, I can take a pretty good look at it. And through the scaling on the hairs, the medulla or lack of medulla, the coloring, the fibrinous, the diameter, I can pretty well tell if it's a bear or a donkey or a mule, horse, elk, that kind of thing. I am building my database for Bigfoot hairs. I have a couple of samples of those, so I can tell you if you're close.
Super, super. That's why I had the miss to get in touch with you last week, and that's why I mentioned you to Jim this week and also to Chris. So Chris can get in touch with you too, or he can go to our forum and talk to us there, because you have the whole progression of when you found the attacked site or the...
1 minute.
Okay, Marco. You have all that info there too, and you can help him with that also, right?
Correct. Yes, I do. I've got a lot of information on that.
Awesome, awesome. And that's all at www.mogionmonster.com, that as in the Mogion Rim or the Mogion Plateau, M-O-G-O-L-L-O-N, mogionmonster.com. Marco, is that about our time for tonight? Or?
We got a sign-off here, Alex, and thank you, Mitch, for coming on again. See you next week, my friend.
Thank you much.
Thanks,
go ahead, Alex.
Good night, everybody. Keep Bigfootin'. Kudos and salutations to everybody. Jim, get in touch with me tonight or tomorrow, whenever you like. We'll get that set up for you with Mitch, and we'll just talk to Chris. Same thing. Everybody, happy. Keep Bigfootin'.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
Who are these prints? Awesome.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else, they just were too realistic.
And
to be
frozen like a tree.
Manufactured.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, myths and mysteries, legend, tales and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the facts.